Everything in this world is about relieving stress. No matter if people admit it or not, eating, sleeping, driving fast cars, what you gonna wear, what you not gonna wear. Is it gonna add stress or take away stress? Yeah. Yoga. People like to do that to get rid of stress. Therapy. People go to therapy to get rid of stress. Have you ever heard of a yoga therapist, though? Yep. That's what we got today. A yoga therapist. Smacked and smushed all up into one. Yoga therapy. Come on. Come on. Come on. Lean in. Listen. Let's do this.
Parenting Up. Caregiving Adventures with comedian Jay Smiles is the intense journey of unexpectedly being fully responsible for my mama. For over a decade, I've been chipping away at the unknown, advocating for her, and pushing Alzheimer's awareness on anyone and anything with a heartbeat. Spoiler alert, I started comedy because this shit is so heavy, so be ready for the jokes. Caregiver newbies, OGs, and village members just willing to prop up a caregiver, you are in the right place.
Hi, this is Zeddy. I hope you enjoy my daughter's podcast. Is that okay?
Stress relief for caregivers through yoga therapy.
Our Parenting Up community is growing so fast. I can't put out an episode as fast as we're growing. So text podcast to 404-737-1449. For updates, exclusives, and suggestions on topics. While you're at it, share an episode with the caregiver you love. Review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on social media. Subscribe to our YouTube page. Please, it really helps.
Parenting Up family, I thought I knew a lot about a little, but I found out something brand new just the other day. And our guest, Jenny Lee, is about to expand upon it. Welcome to the Parenting Up podcast, Jenny. How are you?
I'm great, Jay. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yay. So you are a yoga therapist. Now, I have done the yoga and I have done the therapy. And I got to say, I enjoy both. And they both have helped me be a better person. A lot less road rage. I sleep better. But you have smushed them together.
Yes, I have. I'm not the first one, nor will I be the last. But yes, smushed them together.
So that is why we are here to talk to you. But before we get into that, I've got you guys on this edge of your seats with your little earbuds all stuck in your little lobes. But also, you're a caregiver. You have been a caregiver. And to me, once a caregiver, always a caregiver. It's like, you know, riding a bike, or if you've ever been a human, you're always a human. Even though people might not subscribe themselves as a human nowadays, listen, if you ever knew how to be a human, I think you can remember. Okay? So you have been a caregiver here at the Parenting Up community. We appreciate people who have that journey, have experienced it, and know what we've been through. So if you would be so kind as to share with us a little bit about who you cared for and what diagnosis they had, just so we could get a little bit more background on your story.
Absolutely. So I was a caregiver to my mother at the last stages of her life. She had presented initially with some what we thought was early stage dementia, but she was not somebody who went to doctors. And so we didn't have any kind of official diagnosis until she fell and broke her shoulder, which took her into emergency surgery, in which time we learned that she actually had stage 4 brain cancer. And at that point, it had progressed to the degree that they were only giving her about a month to 6 weeks to live. So it was very quick, and it explained a lot of the symptoms that we had been seeing up until that point in, you know, in the previous year. And and it was quite a ride. Quite a ride.
One second, Jenny, because that's a bit mind-boggling. So for those of us in the dementia community, or people wondering, right, what a family member or a friend may have, you're saying that it looked like dementia, kinda, but then it was when formal medical Western medicine got involved, they found out it was was brain cancer. Can you share? Are you willing to share what symptoms or presentation she had that you thought was dementia but ended up being brain cancer, just so we can learn where they may overlap?
I mean, I certainly can't comment specifically about what the overlaps are from a medical standpoint. I can only share, you know, what we saw, which was a person who had been very meticulous with details, starting to forget things, and at a certain age, I guess to some degree we expect that from our elders, but she was extremely good at making lists of things. And I think she relied upon that towards the end to kind of keep her on track. Maybe it was her coping mechanism to not forget things that she knew she needed to do. But even there, like, her list making started to become scrambled and not really able to keep her on track. So she was forgetting basic to-dos and conversations that we had just had, or, you know, she would track with me very closely. I am an only child, have been an only child. And so, she and I were very close. So,
That's also me, Jenny Lee. I'm an only child. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We move differently.
Yeah.
As an only child, yeah, we move very differently in this world.
And our mamas, I think, track us, if there's a good relationship there. So she was always tracking me, and she had kind of lost track in a way, not because she wanted to, but because she really just couldn't, I think, keep track anymore. So that was really hard. And then, you know, as it went along, there was actually two falls. The first fall took her into a facility for a while for rehab. And while she was in there, she started to have some disorientation. She didn't really remember where she was or why she was there. And so I started to really question, you know, what was going on. But it wasn't until the second fall that we actually got the brain cancer diagnosis. And I couldn't really intervene because, as I said, I'm not sure I said this, she was a Christian Scientist. So her faith was such that she relied upon prayer rather than traditional medical intervention. So she was not somebody to go to doctors.
Understood. Once the brain cancer was diagnosed, what, if anything, did she want to do about it?
Nothing. It was really beyond, I think, any sort of treatment at that point, because it had progressed so far. But I know that she wouldn't have done anything anyway, again, because of her faith. She was not someone to elect medical intervention. So she would not have gone through traditional treatment. But with the diagnosis of just between a month to 6 weeks, that the doctors were giving her, she really just wanted to come and be with me. Here, I live in Hawaii, and she was living on the East Coast at the time. So it was her last wish to come and be here in Hawaii. And so we made that happen in a very quick time frame. But it was a huge blessing, and I'm so glad that we did that. And even though the caregiving was intense at the end, I wouldn't trade it, because those were really precious, precious days.
What were some, caregiving is heavy, but I keep it lighthearted over here. If you have to get moved somewhere, Hawaii has to be at the top of the list. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who live in Minnesota. You know, I don't want to get moved to Minnesota. Like, if you know, I'm just saying, if I got to get picked to one of the 50 states, even if I'm not in America, if I have to get picked, I mean, Hawaii is a pretty high up there. Very nice weather, very nice people. What were some of the quirkier or maybe more fun moments that you can recall as a caregiver?
Well, one really sweet moment was sitting out on our lanai, which is like a porch or deck. And it was, there's this sort of soft, misty rain that happens here in Hawaii. And my mom was old school. She had her hair curled, and she would wear a rain bonnet if she was out in the rain typically. And I was always embarrassed about that when I was a child, being seen with her in her purple rain bonnet. But, We were sitting out on the lanai in this soft, beautiful Hawaiian rain. And I remember her just turning her face up to the sky and saying, "Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain." And she was enjoying that moment. She was probably enjoying that little bit of rain more than she enjoyed any other rain in her life, because she was no longer worried about her hair. And it was so sweet. And it was one of those moments that I think about a lot, because I want to enjoy those simple moments in life. And it was just such a great reminder of how important it is for us to capture those simple moments.
Right. And definitely moments with and in nature, which is what I just picked up on what you said. I'm from the deep south. And as a woman, what your hair looks like in the southeastern part of the United States largely can define you, no matter what age, ethnicity, what religion, what is your hair doing? And therefore, the weather, the humidity, is it raining, could make a huge impact on your emotional state before you left for work or for school. And so I get that turning the corner to say, you know what, forget my hair. Right now, this is just a beautiful moment. And to have this warm, probably almost butter-like misting water touching my face, then things change, right? Anyway, I never met your mom, but I can sense and feel a moment like that having another level of intensity.
So she got very funny near the end of her life, and I don't know. I don't know what turn opened that for her. She wasn't somebody typically to crack jokes, but she had gone into the bathroom, and I was helping her at that time in the bathroom. So I was there with her, and she looked in the mirror and kind of took a double take at herself and thought, and she said, "I look like death warmed over." And I just absolutely started cracking up, and we had a great laugh together because, you know, we're not looking great near the end with stage 4 brain cancer, but the fact that she could find humor in it, I thought was really fantastic.
What can you share with the Parenting Up community about your caregiving experience with your mom that can give them hope to say, "Hey, hang in there. You can get through this"?
Well, I guess we do what we have to do. Human beings are incredibly resilient, incredibly strong. I know I found inner strength that I didn't know that I had during that time. And I think we all reach really deep when we are caring for someone that we love. obviously, it's so important to give ourselves breaks to be able to step away and recover some capacity to come back in and be present with that loved one. But I know that the moments when I let everything else go and just practiced being present with her, not trying to fix anything, not trying to make it better, which I couldn't, but just to bring my full presence and attention to her, those were the sweetest moments. And I know she felt them, and all the maybe things that had stood between us from years past just melted away when I could hold her hand or just sit next to her and breathe with her and let her feel my love, even silently.
Oh, my goodness. Were you already a yogi?
Yes, I've been practicing yogi and teacher of yoga for 25 years. And so my practices definitely helped me. In fact, I wrote about the experience of caring for her and her last days of life in my first book, which is called True Yoga, and how I utilized all 10 of the main practices, which are called the yamas and the niyamas. They're practices that help us stay aligned and centered and harmonious, even in difficult situations. But I write about how I utilized each one of those. And it took all of my practices, for sure, to stay present and stay okay during a really difficult time.
I bet it did. I practice yoga. But I'm not a practitioner. To me, a practitioner is like has a daily practice, and they have a mat everywhere, like in the car, on the bicycle, you know, at work or what have you. And I'm not that disciplined with it, but I know when I'm out of balance too much in life, the first thing I do, no matter where I am, if I'm on vacation, if I'm visiting family members, is I find a yoga studio and hurry up and get into someone's class. Same with my therapist. I have a therapist, a psychologist, and I don't go weekly or even monthly, but when I find myself off the rails, I get back in and get to my maintenance. But you, as I stated earlier in our conversation, you are a yoga therapist. Please tell us about that, because what I believe is you're probably not having people sit on a mat and actually give a psychologist treatment on a yoga mat on a couch, which could get complicated. But also, I would be willing to try, Jenny Lee, if you gave me that. But let me know what it is.
Yeah, it's a great combination. I had started out in my studies studying traditional psychotherapy, and at some point decided that I was simultaneously studying yoga philosophy. And at some point in my studies decided I did not want to go the traditional Western psychotherapy route. And I found from my own personal experience that the teachings of yoga philosophy give us all the tools that we need to find inner harmony. It really is the point of it all. I mean, the postural practice that most people think about, or exercise yoga, if you will, is just one tiny aspect of really what the long and ancient tradition of yoga holds. So much of it has to do with how we manage our mental approach to life experiences, caregiving being a really great example of that, because we don't have control. And so I think the feelings of overwhelm and being out of control are difficult for many people to handle. But having practices like the breath work that's a part of yoga, or the practice of even simplicity. So I'll just take one of the qualities that I referred to earlier, the practice of simplicity. You know, we can run around trying to come up with all different kinds of solutions, but really sometimes the simplest thing is, like I was saying earlier, just sit down and breathe with that person. I've worked in hospice as well, offering yoga therapy in hospice situations. And obviously many people are not capable of doing any kind of physical movement, much less crazy yoga postures. So it really asked me to draw upon the much deeper teachings, which have to do with the management of energy internally. Now that can be both mental, breath, all different ways, but and it also has to do with how we perceive ourselves as beings, right? So we know we are human beings and we have these human bodies, which are failing in the case of those that we're caring for. But we're also, at least in my worldview, we're spiritual beings. And so to remember that when we're caring for someone, to see them as more than that failing body, remember their inner spirit, that also changes the game a bit. And helps. It helps both of us.
Yeah. How did you, I don't know if you found caregivers and said, hey, I'm a yoga therapist and I believe this could help, or did caregivers find you and then just start recommending you to each other? Because that feels like a little bit of a niche to say, yep, I'm a yoga therapist. And amongst my clients, I have caregivers, and it's really helping out.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about caregiving is that I think as women, we're caregivers throughout our lives. Well, maybe we're caring.
Wait, I'm sorry, Jenny, can you say that 18 times? I try to get women to realize, I'm like, you're a caregiver too. Punchinella in the zoo.
Yeah, we're caregivers all our lives, whether we're caring for our, I mean, I felt like I was caring for my parents when I was a kid and I didn't have siblings, but many people care for their siblings. Then we're caring for spouses and children, and then we're caring for our aging parents. And so it's, you know, it's pretty much continual. but in terms of my clientele, you know, people find yoga therapy for a variety of reasons. Usually they are in some sort of challenging time, times of transition, times of grief, times of loss, times of stress. And so caregiving in any format is stressful. So coming to yoga therapy gives people the tools to manage that stress, to meet themselves and the individual that they're caring for in a way that encompasses both the human and the spirit. At least my practice, that's the basis of my practice. I have a very spiritually focused practice of yoga therapy. There are other yoga therapists that focus more on, almost like a physical therapy kind of approach to the practice. But mine has a very spiritual basis.
And is it virtual?
It is virtual. I work via Zoom. I have clients all over the world, which is beautiful, wonderful to connect with people from all over. And so, yeah, people can do it on their own time schedule and from the comfort of their own homes, and no special requirements. You know, sometimes I might set up a mat or a cushion if we're doing a physical practice, but most of the time it's a dialogue like this where we're just in conversation with one another, and I'm teaching people things that they can do easily in the day-to-day scope of their lives, or even by the bed of their loved one.
What is some of the, I guess, I would like a couple of examples, maybe something where a client has given you pushback initially, but then there was a breakthrough, right? They were like, this is not working. Jenny, you said do it. And I tried to do it. This is screwy. You know, you can keep the money, but it's just, okay.
Well, I think one of the hardest things for people to do is prioritize any time for themselves, even if it's just only 5 minutes. I mean, I certainly don't prescribe anyone to sit down and meditate for an hour. If they're a caregiver, that's probably not going to happen. But 5 minutes, yeah, you can find 5 minutes. And I get pushback sometimes when people just say, I just can't find any time. I'm totally overwhelmed. You know, there's no space for this. Like, you go to the bathroom. Meditate on the potty if you have to. Seriously, I mean, there have been times in my life, both as a young single mother and as a caregiver to my aging mother, where my only meditation time was in the bathroom for 5 minutes. But it still counts. It counts. And you got to take it where you can get it.
You got to look, you got to meditate on the crapper when that's what it is. Okay. I love it. What led you to yoga in the first place?
A whole lot of crap. I'm sure it's what leads most people to yoga. It's what leads most people to therapy, right? It's just life. Life happens. Okay. The very initial entry point to yoga was I was looking at some books in a bookstore, and the guy next to me, probably trying to hit on me, said, "Oh, you like those books? You probably like this class I go to," and took me off to a yoga class, which was great. And I love the physical practice. I've taught it for 2 decades or more, and it has its place in my world. But the deeper teachings and what took me into yoga therapy really came as I went through some really challenging times. A divorce, losing a child, and all the grief that comes with those two pretty major life experiences. So I know that these inner practices of yoga are what took me through hell and back. So it's what I love to share with others.
Thank you for sharing. I know that hell and back is a space frequented all too often for many family caregivers, feeling alone, lost, moments of hopelessness, and what do I do next? How did this happen? Is somebody going to come fix this? Where's the Calvary kind of thing? And to offer an option like yoga therapy, meditating on the toilet. You're right. Everybody has to release the excrement. It's going to come out, whether even if you're at an outhouse, whatever it is, excuse me, you are going to relieve yourself. So in those 2, 3, 5 minutes, to take time for yourself to try to balance your central nervous system, which is what it all comes down to. Because as I recall and remember everything from yoga and meditation, is if the more balanced our central nervous system, the better we can absorb what's happening in life, the better decisions we can make for ourselves, for our LOs. And it just means that the next thing doesn't feel as intense because we can respond better.
So that's right.
Try to mellow out. Just try to mellow out.
It doesn't take long to take a few conscious breaths. And really, it's about the consciousness in focusing on the breath, because the breath is always with us. It's ever present. You know, we don't have to do anything special other than be conscious as we're breathing to get a full deep breath. Because one of the things that happens when we're stressed is that we shut the breathing apparatus down to a great degree, and we get very little oxygen into our bodies. So it's very hard to make good decisions when the brain is deprived of oxygen. it's also hard to sleep well when we're not breathing deeply. So you know, on a physiological level, taking deeper breaths helps us on many levels. And then psychologically as well, it just helps us clear for a moment all those stressors. And we'll come right back to them, of course. We got to pick it up back up. But we pick it back up with more awareness, hopefully.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Your perspective and the angle with which you approach inner work sounds effortless, which is inviting. Everything that sounds effortless at least means, oh, okay, I'll try that. I'll try that. It might not be, I know sometimes it is, it can be daunting, but the reward is pretty fantastic. You've written, so Jenny, there are a number of books that you have penned. Tell us about those.
Well, on the topic of yoga, I wrote the book True Yoga. It has a long subtitle, Practicing with the Yoga Sutras for Happiness and Spiritual Fulfillment. I think my publisher wanted to get every possible keyword in there. But True Yoga, yeah. So it's really was my attempt to bring these inner practices of yoga that we've been talking about into a very pragmatic kind of day-to-day presentation for students, teachers, anyone who's interested in this topic. And so it's a book that has not only philosophy, but it has exercises and daily reflections and journal prompts. And it's been really well received over the last 10 years. The next book was Breathing Love, Meditation in Action, which again, you hear the pragmatism in that. It's not just about sitting on the cushion or the potty, as we've talked about. But it's really about bringing that meditative state to everything that we're doing, and caregiving again is a great example of that, because if we cannot bring that calm that we're attempting to cultivate while we're sitting on the cushion into our day to day, then it's, what are we doing? It's not doing us any good at all. So I believe in meditation, in action or in motion in our day to day. And then my last book is called Spark Change, 108 Provocative Questions for Spiritual Evolution. And it's a book of questions which help us navigate change. And so people who are going through times of transition find it helpful because it gives them things to reflect on. And it's a fun book because it's not one you have to read cover to cover. You can have it by your bed, pick it up, read one question, fall asleep thinking about that. And hopefully your intuitive mind will deliver the perfect answer as you sleep and you'll wake up ready to go into a new chapter.
Oh yeah. Hey, yeah. I'm for it. We can, yeah. Why not lay that as the groundwork? Why not Absolutely. Lay that as the groundwork? You have given yeah. us such fertile ground, such a fantastic foundation of a calmer approach to daily life and caregiving. We are a community of family caregivers across the globe who are just digging in. Day in, day out, just trying to do a little bit better today than we did yesterday. Having a bunch of bad days, bad moments. For some of my listeners, they're very new. They're a week or two into this journey. Some, their LOs may have just gained his or her wings, and they're trying to grasp onto what just happened because there's a void. If you had this tremendous responsibility, whether it was 1 month or one decade, you were pouring into a person, giving X, Y, and Z hours and bits and pieces of your daily existence. And then now there's this gaping hole because that person is physically no longer here. And what do you do? And what you're offering us is what to do with it, and a way to handle it in and of itself with our own inner work. Let me tell you, Jenny Lee, that is exciting to know that I can have my own superpower, like some power pellets in my pocket. And I appreciate that. This has been rewarding and exciting and tons of fun to have this conversation with you. Let the community know where they can find you, where they can find yoga therapists, generally speaking, or if there's a place that they can even go on the internet to understand more about your discipline.
Yeah, sure. So you can find me through my website, which is my name, JennyLeeYogaTherapy.com. And I'm happy to speak with anyone. I have a free discovery call. You can come make an appointment and we'll chat for 15 minutes or so about what you have going on. And my books are all available in Amazon and all major booksellers. If you want to read more about yoga therapy, all you have to do is plug it into Google. You'll get lots of resources. There is an International Association of Yoga Therapists. So if you're looking for somebody in your general area, that's the resource that you could find somebody to meet with in person in your area. But many of us work remotely now, digitally on Zoom. So again, I see clients all over the world, so I'm happy to reach out and chat with anybody who has any questions about how this practice might help them manage the stress of caregiving and find the joy in it, because there really are, at least in my experience, moments of joy hidden in even the darkest of times. And it behooves us to look for those.
I appreciate that reminder. There are certainly moments of joy and caring for my mama. Zeti is the reason why this podcast exists. She is the reason why I am admitting publicly that I'm a caregiver. Even though, like you told us, I've been a caregiver all my life, she's the reason why I wear the badge on my arm and across my chest as I walk down the street. So I appreciate it. You are welcome back anytime.
Thank you, Jay.
Enjoy Hawaii for me until I get back over there.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The snuggle up.
Number one, stress causes you to make bad decisions. Period. Point blank. End of story. No matter who you are, how reasonable you think you are, how intelligent other people have told you you are. When you are under stress, you are going to make a more poor decision. That is it. Trust me. Trust me and all the statistics out there. Stress makes you act like an idiot. It makes you trash. So what do you need to do? De-stress yourself. You can't just get out of the game of life. I would prefer if you didn't do that. All we can do is manage how we respond to the things that stress us. Right? Yes. Like some of this stuff that Jenny Lee told us how to do. Come on, the stress is out there. Quit making them bad decisions. Number two, brain cancer can look like dementia. What the whole hell? As if we didn't have enough to deal with taxes and rain. Now, brain cancer can actually look like dementia. It can present the same way with memory loss and falling and stuff. Listen, be careful. Take care of yourself, your LOs, your family, your friends, your neighbors. Get checked up. Go to the doctor. If it's against your religious will, okay, I'm not asking you to go against your religious will. However, if you can, get the scan.
Oh, y'all wasn't ready for me to rhyme. Listen, I'm about to go to the Grammys. If you can, get the scan, baby. Boom, boom, boom. Y'all hashtag that. I'm trying to get me a... I get an Oscar up in this piece. About to get an Oscar.
Number three. Yoga therapy is a self-care practice that doesn't require a mat or a sofa. Hey, y'all, listen. Find a yoga therapist that's near you. Call Jenny Lee. Try it out. It sounds like way too good of a smash up. You know, like peanut butter and jelly? You might not like them separate. You might not even really like bread. But you are hard pressed to talk to a person who has tried a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and didn't say, I mean, it's kind of weird how well it works together. Yoga and therapy intermingled, and you can do it virtually. You can sit beside your LO in the hospital, at the doctor's office, in a treatment center, in the bedroom, nursing home, and you can do your own version of yoga therapy, like right there, 2, 3, 5 minutes on the toilet. Don't let me figure out a way to get better on my inside while I am also relieving my bladder. This world ain't ready for that much, Jay Smiles. What?
What's up, family? Share this episode right here with a caregiver you love. Review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media. And please subscribe to our YouTube channel.